From Swarthmore College.
From Swarthmore College,
this is...
This is...
This is...
This is War News Radio.
Two years ago, a brutal knife attack left former Hong Kong newspaper editor-in-chief Kevin Lau in critical condition. While Lau was in charge of Ming Pao, the paper featured incidents such as the death of Chinese dissident Li Wangyang and mass student protests against national education. Before the attack, he was also involved in the investigation on mainland Chinese officials' investment in offshore funds. Some journalists suspect that Lau was attacked for poking his nose into issues that Chinese officials would like to keep quiet. Days after the incident, thousands of protesters rallied against what they saw as China's encroachment in Hong Kong's press freedom. Kevin Lau's attack is only one of many other incidents that have propelled the safety and freedom of Hong Kong journalists into spotlight. Last year, Chinese company Alibaba acquired South China Morning Post, one of Hong Kong's few remaining printed English newspapers. Earlier this year, Joseph Lian, a renowned news commentator, was suspended by Hong Kong Economic Journal. Local reporters suspected that he was dismissed for political reasons. Hong Kong's media seems to have become another political battleground for the city's autonomy from China. How do these incidents affect daily realities of reporting? And where does the status of Hong Kong's press freedom stand today? We spoke to journalists and journalism students to get their perspectives.
First, we talked to Isaac Cheung, a student currently pursuing a bachelor's degree in journalism in Hong Kong. Although he's still in school, Cheung has already worked for two online English media outlets, Coconuts Hong Kong and Hong Kong Free Press. During the Occupy movements of 2014, he was an editor for the bilingual news page Live Verified Updates. Started by students from University of Hong Kong, the page was dedicated to providing fact-checked information about the protests. Their sources range from witnesses to news agencies. Despite all his positive experiences in various Hong Kong news sources, Cheung has a hard time seeing journalism in his own future. With an increasingly tense political struggle between Hong Kong and China, Cheung is far from hopeful about journalism as a career path. And when Cheung reads stories about journalists like Kevin Lau, he can't help but worry about his own future.
I'm still pursuing my degree, obviously, but I am questioning every day if I still want to be a journalist. There's just a variety of reasons why I'm questioning it. One of them is that my family is scared as hell that if I become a journalist, that one day I'm just going to disappear on the streets and I'm going to end up in a jail in Shenzhen, pleading guilty to some trumped up charge or whatnot. Hong Kong, as a city, as it relates to its journalism, I think it's very, very, very dicey. Considering the nature of Hong Kong, especially how it relates to China, you're going to have very, very, very sensitive topics that are going to be reported on. But it's just not going to get reported because it is just so sensitive.
In particular, Cheung sees the 2014 Occupy movement as the beginning of previously apolitical editorial decisions coming under political scrutiny.
Okay, let's take the Ken Tsang incident as an example. Ken Tsang was a protester who threw something at an officer, and then he was dragged away by seven officers into a dark alley where a camera spotted the cops just beating Ken Tsang while he was in a compromised position. A TVB camera caught the footage, but the network didn't want to broadcast it for very obvious reasons. I think it's sensitive footage, but that in turn pissed off a couple reporters at TVB because their argument is, like any other journalist, we saw it, we report, like we caught it on camera. There's no ambiguity here. These guys are beating him up, so why the hell aren't we putting that on TV? And it ended up that, if I'm not mistaken, that they did broadcast it, they did kind of mention it, but they censored any mention of police brutality. You're gonna have situations like that in Hong Kong. I don't feel like I blame them more than I sympathize. What would you do if you were in that position? I don't think I could better job, honestly.
Then there's the issue of funding. Due to the rise of political tensions during the Occupy movement, some journalists have founded third-party independent news sources in hopes of providing an unbiased alternative to Hong Kong's traditional news sources.
To report independently and to report fairly in Hong Kong is not impossible, but it's just so goddamn difficult. You don't have help behind you, the money behind you. In Hong Kong, more than any other city, I think, it really depends, like money is a really big part of it. It's going to be hard to attract the good talent. It's going to be hard to maintain current structure and even expand it if you don't improve or you don't get what you need. Journalists are asked to do too much with fewer resources on lower pay. And that's just not a system that's going to work. Hong Kong's not exactly the most affordable place to live in the world. And as a journalist anyway, you don't make much money, but especially in a city like this, I think it's going to be tough. I recognize the value of journalism, obviously, but maybe I should be a journalist, I think.
But what about the other young, talented journalists in Hong Kong? Cheng doesn't sound hopeful for his peers either. Even though Cheng is quick to admit that his view of Hong Kong journalism is pessimistic, he doesn't think it takes a pessimist to realize the unsustainability of Hong Kong journalism.
I think a lot of good talented journalists come out of Hong Kong, but Hong Kong is just such a hard, hard place to be a good journalist. And you're left with a bunch of very unpalatable options, I think. Like, do you want to just toe the company line and be kind of seen as a shill, or do you want to take up a job with a third party or with an independent organization and not make good money, and you're busting your ass out there, and you're busting your ass every day? It's a bunch of varying levels of not very appetizing options. A lot of people who take journalism, they don't even go into journalism. The journalism degree lends itself to a lot of things. And a lot of the people in my year, especially, they're looking at those routes, not even necessarily journalism. I think our year, 30-something people, I think maybe two or three will seriously pursue a career in journalism. It's just a bunch of different things that the public's not willing to pay for it. If the focus isn't there, if the danger is too real, and if the priorities are mixed up, then people aren't going to go there because people aren't stupid.
Coming up with a solution to Hong Kong's free press issues is no simple task. Trailblazers like Hong Kong Free Press's editor-in-chief Tom Grundy may be helping Hong Kong inch closer to journalistic freedom, but Cheng maintains that a more fundamental change in journalism as a whole must occur first.
Yeah, all I know is that if the current structure definitely doesn't work, and it's probably going to take a greater mind than mine to realize something that is a good change. But I think regardless, the system right now, it really stacks the deck against the journalists, and especially in Hong Kong.
We spoke to another journalism student who prefers to be anonymous. When we asked if they would consider becoming a reporter in Hong Kong, this is what they said.
I am not comfortable with remaining in Hong Kong with elites who are diametrically opposed to my own thinking. I do not think I could find it in myself to agree with and promote the values which are currently in vogue with the patricians of Hong Kong. To me, it comes down to finding a place where you will feel less dirty writing for the winning side, that is, progressive side of hot-button topics.
Lastly, we spoke to Noreen Meir, a producer for the English Channel at Radio Television Hong Kong. RTHK is an independent broadcasting station funded by the government. Reflecting on her 10 years at the radio station, she told us,
Right from the start, my bosses have been very straightforward and said, always remember, you know, we serve the public, not the government, and we just report on the news. We never report on rumors. I think once you have that very solidly in your mind, you just know the kind of journalist you want to be.
While Mir's experiences within her own work environment have been largely positive, she notes that this isn't always the case for her colleagues working in Chinese media. She sees a very clear disparity between English and Chinese media in Hong Kong and the levels of scrutiny that organizations may face.
They have to really be really careful the way they present their material. Not to say that English channel, we don't have to be careful, but there's a certain sort of unspoken freedom that we get purely because we have fewer listeners.
Another recent trend is the tendency for higher governmental officials to be more willing to speak to Chinese media than English media, which Mir believes could be due, in part, to the greater scrutiny within the Chinese media.
Many government officials, many politicians, will selectively only choose to appear to go on Chinese media and will not make an appearance on English media, or perhaps make less time for English media. And I think that's a slippery slope. I don't think that's authentic. I don't think that's authentic for the government to preach an international city image and not coming on English programs. And I think that needs to change, and that needs to change fast.
Mir reflects on events like the knife attacks on Kevin Lau in 2014 and the chief executive's threats to sue Apple Daily this year, highlighting how these occurrences can generate an atmosphere of fear.
It is a journalist's job to present all matters, but it's really sad if journalists can't do that because they're scared. And I think fear is often a feeling that journalists may have, across the world, but certainly more so in Hong Kong. There were journalists, and it gave certain journalists a sort of alarm bells started ringing for certain journalists as well. I'm sure that will make you think, right, I'm going to have to be careful in how I report, what I report, the way I report. And if that happens, the attackers win.
Some of the scrutiny that Mir and other journalists face isn't always initially apparent. Even small nuances like the selection of words could have important political implications. In the case of reporting on an event like the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989, Mir says,
"You use words such as massacre or the incident, and we still have that debate in the radio."
As some stakeholders of major news organizations have now garnered the ability to maintain power and control over what is published, many question the future of journalism. While Mir is cognizant of the fact that the industry isn't where it should be, she still sees a bright future for writers who wish to pursue justice.
While Isaac Chung, Noreen Mir, and this journalism student all hold different opinions on the status of press freedom in Hong Kong, what's clear is how larger political pressures have trickled down to the everyday scene of journalism. Although our attention is usually focused on shocking incidents and prominent political figures, small details in daily realities matter too. They give us a better idea of the challenges that journalists and journalism students face. They show us how these barriers limit those currently in the field and discourage potential newcomers. They point us to important battlegrounds that are otherwise unseen. This piece was produced by Catherine Kwok, Sammy Park, Nigel Van Ha, and Nagyeon Kim. War News Radio is a production of Swarthmore College. Visit us online to listen to archive shows, learn more about our program, or subscribe to our podcast. That's warnewsradio.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter to keep up between shows and let us know what you think. For War News Radio, I'm Catherine Kwok.